If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is, that you are. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Outing a Closet Christ by Emitting the Highest Energy. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And integrate. Allow that salific light and life that is the Christ that you are to be received into every part of your consciousness. You do that by simply intending, communicating that clearly as what you want. Take another deep breath. And allow that salific Christ energy to infuse your brain, your central nervous system, your cerebral spinal fluid. As you breathe, allow that divine source energy to flow through your bloodstream. Every fiber of your being. As you begin to assess the energy, be very aware of consciously coming forward as conscious awareness, as energy, as a field of being. Not limited to your body, but fully present in your body. At the same time, you live in a transcendental state, not limited and confined by the body. So get a sense, if you will, of your energy. You've all seen pictures of orbs. Those are the energy fields of beings as various presentations of consciousness. What do you present in the energy field of your consciousness? If you were an orb, what color would you be? What would the orb of your being look like? Pull it forward in your inner vision. You have the power to do that. You have the power to look and see anything that you sincerely want to see. There is nothing holding you back but a belief somewhere that you have to wait, or that you're not worthy or evolved enough, or whatever. No one keeps the Christ in the closet but a mistaken sense of self, a limited sense of self. So take another breath and write it down into the sentiency. Represented by the nervous system. Feel the tingling of life vitality in your fingertips. Feel it in your chest, in your feet. The soul energy rides down into the very fibers of the DNA, the very codons of the DNA, and exist in each cell as light. The light in each cell is the presence of you as the Christ that gives, really, when you don't have any hindering dampers on your being, your entire body is filled with ecstasy. Ecstasy. Every part of the body is ecstatic. It's filled with bliss. That's when you occupy but are not limited by the physical body or any of the other vehicles of consciousness that you've appropriated to which to manifest your supreme absolute beingness in the becomingness of time-space. You are both the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one that is neither here nor there, but everywhere. You are omnipresent. Only the limited light field of the mind would suggest a localized existence. As you expand into non-localized being, you'll lose the sense of being confined by time, which again appears only in the limited ego mind. There is no time. There is no world. The world, in any case, appears only when you think of it. In the morning, for example, you wake up. You don't immediately remember the world, do you? You're still fresh from entering from another world, another state of consciousness and existence, every bit as vivid and real at the time as this dream you call your daily life. It's an odd thing, isn't it? Very strange. When you remember the world, suddenly it appears. Because the power of your divine summoning makes it so. You summon things by your remembrance. And they become suddenly the reality that occludes your omnipresent, non-localized, being. So look around you. Everything you see is energy and emits an energy of a specific resonance. Practice looking beyond form. Look beyond every form. Practice seeing and experiencing the energy of objects, people, things. Look at your reflection in the mirror. That's all energy. Your personal composite of energy. You are wearing your past. You are wearing your past. What is your past? Your mind. Your remembering. Your stories, that's your closet. Your remembering and your stories of the lumber of your closet. Look deeply into your eyes. Sense the energy within and behind your gaze. What energy are you emitting? Don't be afraid to look. Look past the form. Look into the energy field. Feel yourself as an orb of energy. You know, the key to seeing from higher expanded awareness is simply to look without evaluation, without mental commentary. Just take in the energy field. Expand, embrace, allow, receive. Allowing awareness to become present without any particular focusing. It's a very laid-back way of detached seeing that bypasses the critical mind with its endless commentary. No thoughts arise at all in pure awareness. And yet, insights simply occur when they're not blocked by thought. They simply become present as direct seeing, true vision. It's the thinking that blocks awareness, so that you don't see things as what they are. You see through the interpretation of the past. And therefore you never see anything as it truly is. And because you see nothing as it truly is, you lack joy. There's no joy in the closet. So practice seeing in this manner until you no longer engage the mind at all and its running evaluative commentary. It's simply observing and being present with your life right now. Right now, are you present? Are you present? If you're doing anything else right now but listening to the speaker, you're not present. A divided mind is nowhere. To be aware, you must stop multitasking mentally. That is blocking your omnipresent knowing. So this is how you can go beyond thinking and mentalizing to true vision and seership. Nothing will be denied you when you truly, above all else, want to see. You don't really want to see if you're just dabbling, multitasking, thinking of something else, playing with your cat, looking at your email, or you're texting. That is how the ego sabotages realization and joy. So how does the Christ, that higher awareness, see through your eyes? The vision that is the Christ would bless all things. Only bless all things. And this has been called the Darshan, the Twaji, the Baraka, Devadristi. It's the divine sight that you bestow when the Christ Self looks with unconditional love upon all things. So love has the highest vibration. It's not an emotional feeling. This is why practically no one has truly experienced love. Definitely no one who is still in the closet. Because it's a state of impersonal understanding, allowing each soul to fulfill its karmic destiny with no need to correct or fix or criticize or point out the truth or blame or do anything at all other than unconditionally support its right to be and to exist. Do you know that in the state of love, you don't feel loving? That's the odd thing about it. When you are love, you don't experience love. The experience itself would separate you from that. You simply are that. Do you experience being a man or a woman? Not when you're left alone. You don't have any sense of gender at all. What gender does light have? What gender does soul have? These, again, are mental definitions that have defined us in limitation and confuse us when we get down here from the pure state of soul and have to choose in illusion and duality to define who we are. Because social etiquette, social mores, social conditioning have conditioned us to believe that we have to be this way to be right. And it's all a lie. It's all illusion. It's all a big nonsense. It's all part of the closet that keeps us less than wholly joyous and wholly authentic in who we are. So love is the very power and presence of God. And souls are individualized extensions, like rays of the sun, of that supreme absolute, extending into time-space, that pure vibration of love throughout creation. Souls, however, lack experience. And once they come into the planes of duality and polarization, they appropriate a variety of sheaths of consciousness that enables them to function on each plane of consciousness. Soul picks up an etheric body, which is like the unconscious blueprint, a mental body, a causal body, an astral body, a physical energy body, and a physical body. And that's a lot of covering that the soul is veiled in. Then the veil of forgetfulness drops to enable soul to have a fresh start in each lifetime. But you as soul must impress your new brain and neurological system with your purpose and plan for this lifetime. You have been assigned a high self, which is like an overseeing archetype, assigned to keep you on track and aligned with your soul purpose for this lifetime. That is the wise counselor or better judgment that sometimes very subtly suggests a better alternative to you. Very non-inflictive. It's a soft, gentle voice. Then you have a physical elemental spirit, or basic self, that tries to keep your body safe and healthy enough to fulfill your purpose in this lifetime. The high self and basic self are not you, and they're not yours to keep. They're simply friends on loan for this incarnation because they are of the type that will best serve you at this time in fulfilling the soul purpose. The high selves and basic selves are also evolving by serving a human being in this manner. Our basic selves, sometimes were our pets in earlier lifetimes. And they are evolving and beginning to come to the place where they will be able now to engage directly in a human embodiment and next perhaps take a human embodiment. So the basic selves have also been called the inner child. The high selves and basic selves can come from any number of planes of consciousness and levels of development. You could even have a master as your high self, or a highly developed and wise physical elemental, or basic self. And that's great when that is the case. And you have a whole lot less struggle than integrating your personality. So as a soul, we are training our various levels of our personal human embodiment to receive, contain, and radiate ever higher vibratory rates. All ego-driven states, by comparison to the soul quality, are low in vibration. All ego states are ones of resistance and negativity in some degree. And they all short-circuit the soul currents and limit and suppress the radiant bliss of the soul. I refer to the ego states as the closet in which the Christ, the soul, is confined. By self-placement, I would add, no one puts you in the closet of confinement but yourself, you. Your lack of awareness puts you there, I should say. Your lack of awareness. So the ego states are invariably unhappy and discontent in some manner. That's the background of resistance and disharmony and unhappiness that most people are totally unconscious of because it's been assumed to be normal. It's not normal. It's insane. And it has to be recognized and outed. It has to be dissolved by the pure light of your observation. When that divine Christ that you are looks upon anything in that pure, unconditional state of love, it dissolves the darkness. You've turned the light on, and the roaches come out of the corners. But in this case, they dissolve by the light of observation. Just be aware that negativity and resistance are of the same vibration. There's no difference. And every negative state is unnatural. Your true nature is bliss, joy, inner stillness, peace. Absolute contentment and wholeness. There's no lacking, needing, wanting, groveling, pleading, petitioning. All of that comes out of a false sense of self. Without realization of God, it is impossible for you to be fulfilled. Nothing in the world of passing phenomena will ever fill and fulfill you but yourself. Your full occupancy, your full illumined field of consciousness. That's why I often start these seminars with having you take a deep breath and emblazon your entire energy field with your soulific, fiery essence. Be very intentional when you breathe. That breath is from the absolute, all that is, that has given you life, eternal life. So ego is a mental state of perceived separation from love. It's the absence of felicity. It's an alienation and a denying of joy and God. Because unless your mind has been totally indoctrinated with nonsense, it would feel joy at any thought of God. But now you see, we've got it all mixed up with religion and doctrine and misquoted and misunderstood scripture. So it doesn't give joy anymore. It gives rise to fear or doubt or questions or skepticism and cynical viewpoints. At its worst, it gives in to atheism. So it's only a perceived state of separation. And that is why everything that the ego sees is false. It is simply the presenting of the outpicturing of an unenlightened mind with its ceaseless, joyless rhetoric running nonstop. It's the jabbering idiot in your head that won't shut up. What to do? Ignore it. Ignore it. It has only the energy that you give to it. Once you discern that every joyless state is simply not true, every negative mood is an unnecessary descent into your own self-created hell. Strong words, but it's the truth. You yourself create your hell, your prisons, your closet. So to out that Christed potential requires training the personality to vibrate in harmony with the soul, the physical body, the emotional and mental expressions must all be trained to receive and host the powerful, refined energies of the soul. This preparing of soul's vehicles has been going on for hundreds and perhaps hundreds of thousands of incarnations. It's not something you're attempting to do from the first step or the first time. Each time soul re-embodies and picks up a new physical vehicle, it picks up exactly where it left off the last time. So be aware that the spiritual practices and abilities that you have now and find that come naturally to you indicate your previous training and development. It also indicates where you might have perhaps been in your last incarnation, or even your level of initiation. Initiation is when you have established a certain vibration of expanded light in your vehicles of manifestation. When that is stabilized, it becomes your natural modus operandi. You have secured that level of initiation. I would say, without exaggerating, that every single soul on the planet today is either an aspirant moving towards their first initiation, or has already undergone their first initiation and is now moving forward into some degree of initiating into the next level. What's the first initiation? It's when you turn on the lights in your physical body. What does that mean? It means all of a sudden you're aware that you have a body, but you're not the body. And that comes in not as just a nice thought or metaphysical speculation. It comes in as your experiential reality. So until it becomes you, you're not there yet. There's always an outer demonstration of the inner union that one attains in the various levels of initiation. Things that come easy to you, or that are part of your, let's say, creative expression, or the things that you like to be involved with, can also give some indication of where you've incarnated from, which dimensional plane. For example, in your spiritual practice, if you find it's easy for you to, for example, quiet your mind, meditate, enter into deep states, meditation, beyond thought, without prior training in this life, I might add, then you obviously have practiced meditation before this lifetime. Maybe you were a yogi or a nun in some cloistered order or a monk. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you'll notice very young children just naturally sit in Padmasana, the full lotus pose, their little fingers in Chin Mudra. And you might wonder, where in the world did they learn how to do that? Especially if you're not doing it in front of them. Well, maybe you wouldn't wonder, but, you know, a lot of parents out there have and do. So before the age of 5, children will give away so many clues as to who they are and where they were and what they were in their previous incarnation. So what comes easily to you? Some particular talent, skill, ability? Or maybe it's an innate spiritual knowing. What has been the greatest challenge for you, or currently is your greatest challenge? That indicates where your lessons are focused. Maybe to complete an initiation in this lifetime. And maybe it indicates where you've incarnated from most recently. These are all part of the grand mystery that it's up to you to decode. You rob yourself of direct realization when you run off to psychics and expect them to tell you who you are. Don't you see how illogical that is? How could anyone else know who you are but you? Anyway, say you're highly imaginative and love fantasy, fairy tales. Perhaps you love some form of artistic expression that carries you off to a magical land within yourself. You may have incarnated most recently from the Devic realms or from the astral planes, which could be the same thing. And bear in mind that each planet, each orb within the vastness of creation is an entity just like you that has an astral body, a causal body, a mental body, an etheric body, and a soul body. And you can incarnate from any one of those bodies, i.e. realms, when you incarnate. That's why sometimes when people ask me where they're from, I'll point at the sky and tell them, point to something out there. And in the quantum field of your omnipresence, you are there. You inhabit every quark of existence. You've just been closeted into the erroneous belief that you're localized in this body, in this time. Gosh, no wonder we expand into bliss when we wake up. It's hell to think you're a body. To believe that you're going to die. To believe that there's an end to life. And all the other dreary, dreary beliefs that we just accept as the way things are. How horrid. What a horrid, horrid way to live. And yet people don't. Well, they do eventually get so sick and tired of the misery of trying to live a false identity in a world that's but a bad dream at best, that they finally do whatever it takes to wake up. And if you're not awake, I would suggest you do whatever it takes to wake up. Don't get stuck in some spiritual group or some religion and occupy a pew or a chair for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and still remain the same fool. If what you've been doing hasn't brought you to enlightenment, it's probably not going to. You're going to need to do something more than what you've done. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is possessed by the violent. What does that mean? It means you have to be intense. Sai Baba said that most of us don't realize God because we lack intensity. What does it mean to be God conscious? It means to be more aware of the divine presence than what's going on in the world. How many people do you talk to that ever talks about God or anything having to do with reality? I get so tired of hearing people tell me about their bodies, their aches, their pains, their problems. It's like, good Lord, get over it. Wake up. The only problem you have is that you keep sitting in the closet of personal self-confinement. Get a little fire lit under your do what it takes. Walk out of that prison and do something radical. Something so different, so unfamiliar, that perhaps it jolts you into awakening. You are where you focus your attention. And what you focus your attention on, you make real. And the more you talk about it and tell your stories about it and complain about it and pretend like you're victimized by it, the more you're confined, the more you're limited. You do not realize that every word that comes out of your mouth is creating your reality. It has to. You're the spoken word into existence of the living God. You are the spoken word. That all that is resonating into time space. The entire universe has to obey you. You are the only entity that's been given the authority to speak as God. That's what the human is, the God knower, the God thinker, the God realizer. Not a word that comes out of your mouth is without effect. It'd be a good idea to tape your conversation the next time you're on the phone with someone. It would be a wonderful thing if you would tape your conversation for the whole day. I think you would be shocked to see how much hell you're creating for yourself out of your unconscious speech. Ouch. But also the mind. The mouth simply gives utterance to what's in your heart, which is another way of referring to your consciousness. The Bible says, out of the mouth you speak the contents you've deposited in your heart. Ouch! But if you want to wake up, if you want to present as the Christ, and we're told again in the Bible that the very earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Groaning in anticipation of your coming out of the closet. So you import the world into your awareness by thinking about it. Without remembering the world, without remembering your body, without remembering your problems and your kvetching and your whatever, railing against the injustices of a cruel world, without any of that, it would not exist for you. Sai Baba said that if you have a problem, you should never talk about it. Never think about it. Because you don't have a problem now, you only have a problem because you're dragging past problems into the present and expecting the same problem in the future, but you're still creating it by thinking about it, talking about it, remembering it now. You see how illogical that is. So what are you supposed to do? Repeat the name of the Lord. Sai Baba said that it will consume your problem like little Pac-Man. It will gobble it up. That higher vibration will completely dissolve the energy field of your problem. I've done this many, many times, earlier years, believing before I had experience that what Baba said was true. And lo and behold, it was. Lo and behold, it was. You know, there's nothing you need to think about. Nothing. Nothing needs thinking about. So how do you live? You stay present in the moment. You can always handle now. Always. You have enough energy, enough money, enough shelter, enough food, enough life force, enough breath, enough health, enough company or solitude. You have whatever it is you need now, now, now. For tomorrow? No! How are you going to live by faith and manifest as a divine being if God already manipulated and controlled and got it all set up for tomorrow? That's why when the Israelites were given manna, they could not store it for tomorrow. It would turn rotten. The only time they were given a double portion was to cover the Sabbath. That is to tell us that sufficient unto the day is our daily bread, our daily portion, whatever it is. That's what it means to live in full God consciousness. You don't think about that stuff. Like Jesus, when he told his disciples, don't be concerned about what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds in the air. Doesn't God take care of them? Are you not more worth than these? Than this grass that is here today and is burned tomorrow? Are you of not more value than that? Here we are 2,000 years later and we're still doing the same stuff. Baba said one time, when he was 70 years old, 70 years and not a brick has shifted. Well, I'll tell you something now, the world is going to wake you up. Because it's tired of unconscious beings polluting and destroying and maiming and killing and drenching this beautiful Edenic world with blood and hatred. The earth has had enough. Sai Baba said that all the earthquakes and all the tornadoes and all the devastating things that are happening are because of man's inhumanity to man. Our hatred, our vengeance, our petty little quarrels, our little spats, the petty larceny in our heart, the hatred, the deep-rooted resentments, the unvoiced nastiness, or the voiced nastiness today on the internet, anybody can hide through a pseudo-name and spew the most slanderous nonsense and horrible commentary on the internet. That is like the arch cowardice of cowardices to do such behavior. And that's why the earth is revolting. That's why every indigenous elder and wise person has said, if we don't shift, we're not going to be able to sustain the way things are on this planet. Sai Baba said, in a not-too-long-ago discourse, that God was allowing man to destroy the earth. That was an awful thing to hear. And can we do something about it? I don't know. I do know this, that there is a shifting now of realities. I can see it very clearly. Sai Baba has alluded to it many, many times, where he said that only the souls that are firmly rooted in divine consciousness, in love, in faith, devotion, and surrender, only those souls are going to make it. All the rest will be swept away, he said, into a world of chaos, like chaff. Oh, nobody really dies. You'll just take your crazies to the next dimension. And at some other point, there will be the draw back into a suitable planet or place where you can continue on with the crazies until you had enough. But if you're at all serious, I don't want to play New Age and UFO and nonsense games people play, waste time with. If you're tired of all the psychic nonsense, all the storylines, and all of that stuff, if you're just fed up with it, you might want to try being with yourself, with your energy, with your creation, with where you sit within your consciousness right now. Who are you? What are you? What are you? What have you wrought within the energy fields of time, space, and becoming? What have you become? Are the lights on? Are you awake? Have you come home to yourself? If you are, you're content and quiet inside. It's still. There's a hush of stillness when you enter the room because you don't come into the room with a gerbil cage mind polluting the air. You feel a quiet joy deep down inside, which again is not an emotion, it's a state. It's a state of recognized wholeness. It's a state of spiritual fulfillment, where you don't have holes of lack, neediness. It's a state where you can sit absolutely quiet, peaceful, content, and you can really hear the sounds all around you. You hear the distant barking of the dogs. You hear the traffic. You hear the birds. You hear the children playing. Or whatever. And there's no judgment. There's no againstness. There's no desire to flee and escape. Where would you go? Wherever you are, there you are. You're omnipresent, aware. You're omnipresent right now. As the awareness expands, you'll realize that. As the awareness expands, you find everything within you that you love and everything within you, period. But then that state, there's nothing you don't love. Because you see it all as the same thing. It's all the one. It's all the ecstasy of pure being. And then you're not trying to manipulate outcome. You're not trying to defend yourself against future uncertainty. You're not looking to use people and things and lovers. So you'll be more safe, more comfortable in your illusion. No. These things are part of the childhood of unconsciousness. You're not here to be children of God. You're here to be God. You're not here to be devotees of an avatar. You're here to be an avatar. You're not here to be followers of Christ. You're here to be a Christ. Enough of the following. Enough of putting yourself in a lesser position. It's not out of arrogance that we take our rightful place and are seated in heavenly places with Christ. That's what we've been called to be and do. So the soul is always and already seated in heavenly places with Christ. What is that heavenly place? It's the state of monadic integration. Oneness with the Father, if you want to put it more religiously. What is the Father? You, all grown up. You. Out of the closet. Jesus said, you ask to see the Father, and I tell you, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. Can you say that? When you have seen me, you have seen the Christ. The world needs you to come out of the closet and be the Christ. It's no big deal because you won't make of it a big deal. You won't remember the people you help because there's no one home helping. There's only love presenting. There's only the absolute, it of itself presenting. There's no mind, there's no ego. There's no self-evaluation. You don't at any time remember yourself. You walk like Jesus through the world. And whatever shows up, you see that its sole purpose is fulfilled. You don't interfere. You don't get in the way. You don't make a big deal out of it. You just see where you can increase the awareness, the light, the love, lessen the burden, bring more happiness and joy. If all we did every day was see who we could make happy that day, whoever shows up that they could be lifted in some way, into greater lightness of being. But you don't go after it as an agenda. It's got to be your nature. It's got to be what you don't think about. It's got to be unplanned, uncontrived. It's got to simply be what you do because of who you are, the Christ. So I invite you to come out of the closet. You know what it is. It's what's kept you living small. It's what's making you absolutely miserable. But only you can set yourself free. Jesus will help you. Sai Baba will help you. All the masters that you can think of will help you. But we all become masters by mastering ourselves. so they can't do it for you. But they can do it through you. Because at that level, we're all one. So it doesn't matter who you call on, we're all one at that level. So I hope that this has ignited a fire where you most need it. In your heart, under your butt, whatever. But let's get out of the closet and bring forward the love that's going to save this planet and everyone. Let's go out chanting. On IQ, deep breath. On IQ. God and I, and God bless each one of you. May we all step out of the closet. Confinement and radiate the purity and divinity that is who we truly are. Namaste.